Hello and welcome to the PB&J show. I am the PB, Patrick Butler, and joining me all the way from New Orleans is the J. Jesse, how are you?
Well, just off the injured reserve list. I'm glad we could get back to doing this. Doc had me off the mic for a few months, and now I'm back, ready to go, and I'm excited about it. How you doing?
Well, good to have you back in the lineup. I too had to see the trainer. I had to see my trainer today. I've been having a shoulder issue, and she got me back in shape, and I'm ready to record. So I'm glad both of us are back in the lineup and ready to go as we hit the mid-year point here.
Excellent, excellent. I want to wish a happy Independence Day to everybody out there that's listening in America, or a happy Treason Day if you are a Brit and still a little bit bitter about things.
Yes, and good to see everyone, and the bastardization of the American flag as it is put into bikinis and shorts and hats and any, you know, sunglasses and anything you can think of. But yeah, let's celebrate and blow shit up.
Excellent. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, it's funny, man, as you and I talk about the injured reserve and getting some medical or physical therapy in some variety, whether it's a massage or a doctor visit, it had me thinking about middle age. And I know a lot of people define it differently, but you and I are definitely at a point where we're at middle age, if not beyond it. And it had me thinking about people in their life. As they hit that midpoint, that middle-aged point, the thought was, have we hit a high point by hitting middle age or just past? And if so, can you reinvent yourself? Can you have a kind of resurgence in your career and your life? Can you alter things and change as you hit that midpoint? And so those kind of broad topics were on my mind, and I thought maybe we could dive into that. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great topic. And it is something that I'm not going to lie. I think about reinventing yourself all the time. I've had some bad job decision luck lately, or job company luck, and not this year, but you know, putting me in this situation and kind of makes me re-examine where I'm at and how I want to reinvent myself, and what direction I want to go in, or do I want to keep going down the path that I've been going down, that I'm one of those people that does enjoy retail. I do enjoy that interaction with people. But it's also, you're hitting that point where, at what point are you still going to be relevant? So I definitely think about that and try to think about ways to make myself kind of seem somewhat relatable with the younger generation that, I would say our business is probably, 60-40. And so I try to keep myself relevant, up to date. Working with a younger staff kind of helps with that too. But also in the back of my mind, it's always that challenge of how I can adapt and move forward and as you said, stay relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the field that I'm in the industry that I'm in, it is really, the primary workforce is this oncoming of youth, this younger generation that get out of school and come into my industry. And in doing so, here I am in a position where I'm guiding, them from a training perspective and education perspective, and trying to teach them what we call best practices, and trying to help them grow in their career. And yet there's an age gap there. There's a strong age gap. I've been in my business for 25 years, and some of these people coming in are not even 25. And so what I try to do is, if anything, I try to lean on my experience and show them, to your point, trying to find try to find ways that are that they can relate to things and see the relevance, where I can show them that there is a path here for you, and I can provide value to in that to you in that capacity. And you know, for the most part, it definitely works, but I still find myself questioning at times, like, oh wow, you know, look at the difference here.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I one of the guys I work with the most, he's 25. He's from England. But we have a lot of sports, if you want to call them, discussions. And I draw on what I've known for forever. And so it's like when I'm saying something to him, I'm talking about, you know, how historically an athlete does, or when why you're paying an athlete money that hasn't produced, and what the history of that is. And you know, he kind of makes little snide remarks about, you know, my negativity and, you know, giving him all this stuff. And I'm like, well, this is all based on what I've recognized, I saw all my life. You know, of course, a lot of it came into play with this recent draft. And you know, it's like, it's because I'm saying these things because I've had now, you know, a whole lifetime of watching the NBA draft and watching teams pick and watching how that player performed prior to getting drafted. And, but yeah, it's tricky. And, you know, you don't want to be the guy that is, you know, acting far younger than he is, but then also you don't want to be the get off my lawn man. And a lot of the times I feel like I end up being the get off my lawn man, because just, you know, it's, you're stuck in that way a bit, and you're trying to correct yourself or make sure that, you know, you're still in the moment, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's funny. I was literally asking myself though, you know, if you had to reinvent yourself, could you? And I would say, in my opinion, I think it would be difficult for a lot of people to reinvent themselves and kind of have this second start if they had to, in career and in life. Some people are forced into it, don't get me wrong, but I think it would be challenging to do so. It was interesting, yesterday I listened to a podcast, and it was about a guy. They focus on different people that have had some success in business in various forms. And this guy, this blew my mind. He started a blog, and he did so without any, he's not very tech savvy. He's, you know, knowledgeable, but not completely tech savvy, but he was looking for opportunities. So at the time, this is before Facebook's algorithm change. And he set up different pages to see how many likes you would get to find an area, whether it was pets, wrestling, soap operas. I mean, different areas to find interest, to find if people would attach themselves to that subject. Long story short, he ended up finding one, and it was soap operas. And this guy has never watched a soap opera. He does not watch them at all. So what he did, this is crazy. He started a blog. He used WordPress, and he started a blog. And he hired a writer, just a freelance writer. And she had some experience in the soap opera field. And she would just write articles, and he would post them. He'd post them to Facebook to try to drive traffic. And then at that time, you could buy some likes and really promote yourself in a different way. Well, it ended up that he created a very simple website. And as time went on, he continued to drive traffic and get email lists. And sure enough, it continued to grow, and he was able to generate revenue over time. And literally, he just sold it. He had been in operation for just over a year or so. And he was, in the end, he had hired several writers. He had rented out one office, one single office. He only had a couple people on staff that helped him maintain everything. And in the end, he ended up selling the thing for $9 million. He was generating revenue of several hundred thousand dollars a month. And this is a guy who at the time was a single father, and literally had to kind of go out on a limb. And I thought, this is a crazy story about a guy who literally went into, he broke every rule. He wasn't passionate about the subject he was delving into. He just found opportunity as an entrepreneur. And I thought, wow, luck, I suppose, at the time in a way, but also really savvy because he saw the need. And I think it's interesting in our world now with social media, there are opportunities where you could in effect reinvent yourself. But I'm wondering in the real world how that applies. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's sticking with that, with the tech stuff, it's amazing. It's all about, you know, now the big thing is the huge money is in gathering your information. You know, it's not in actually speaking to you or getting your opinion. It's everything behind the scenes. And I mean, starting a blog that got that kind of traffic, that's amazing. I look at it, Beth's niece and her boyfriend stayed with us a few weekends back, and they were telling us, I completely forgot it. It's where the people, they got the mic up really loud and they just like make noises and stuff. And the number of views, there's a lady, and it's awesome. She was eating fried chicken and the views were like 15 million. And I was thinking to myself, how does that happen? But at the same goddamn time, I'm sitting there repeatedly watching it, you know? But it's truly, I mean, it for me, it gives me hope that there might be, you know, lightning in a bottle for something. Somebody would like, hey, that sounds like a wonderful idea. And, you know, everybody else would be like, he's been saying that stupid shit for years. What's going on? So, but yeah, it's fascinating. And
well, I mean, my two younger girls watch a show on YouTube. And the show, literally, you don't see the people who are actually doing the work. You only see their hands. And here's what I mean by that. They actually have a show where they play with their dolls and their play sets, little Barbies, things of that nature. And they actually combine a bunch of different dolls. It doesn't matter the brand. They just literally combine the characters, popular characters, but they've kind of tweaked their names just a little bit. And they have them go through different, like going to the doctor, going to the store. They play out these scenarios just as if you and I were kids playing with G.I. Joe or Star Wars action figures. They're playing these scenarios out. Their site, literally, I looked at some of the videos that my kids watch and are getting upwards of 5 million views each video they pop out. And now these kids, these young kids, and I'm sure their parents are behind it, now have a revenue generating YouTube site where all they do is play with their toys and make up stories.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, yeah, you know, the phenomenon of watching people play video games, and then there's that kid that reviews toys. That's all he just does YouTube, and he just started reviewing toys on his own, and then now he's got his own toy line, and it gives you hope for things. But also at the same time, it's like, I don't know if I could sit and make videos of you watching me fucking munch on some food, some popcorn. It's fascinating. I mean, I guess people go to sleep to it. I don't know. I was more like in disbelief the whole time, but yet I couldn't stop it. I just had to watch it. And then I found myself wanting to look for more of them, you know, so I do think that it is possible, coming back to what we originally were talking about. I do think that we can reinvent ourselves. I think that we're kind of fortunate in this day and age that there are, you know, the things like a YouTube channel, being a blogger and, you know, getting bought or getting caught by the right company. You know, I also think that we are fortunate that a lot of the direction of businesses are people that are within 10 years of us either way. So we got kind of that in our favor. I don't know if, you know, I would hope that they would think like we do, but If we had to reinvent ourselves, you know, it would definitely be a challenge, and I think it would be a lot of soul searching involved. But I think that it would be something that, if you have the right attitude, it can be no problem. Do I want to do it? No, but you know,
right? No, I think that. Well, two things. What I found myself more inspired by lately are people that have experience. You know, I think it's great if there's some young phenoms that come out in any sort of industry or sport or whatever it may be. But I'm also really inspired by people who have experience, who've gone through it, who've got experience and can speak to it. And I was just actually, again, yesterday I was reading an article. It was in The Athletic, and Bruce Feldman wrote an article, and it was, and yes, I was biased because it was about the quarterback's coach at Nebraska, Mario Vestuco. He's a guy that's in his early 60s, but what was really fascinating about the article, and he's gotten a lot of attention over this article, was that Mario, the coach, had always been at smaller schools most of his career, but he'd done exceptionally well and produced some really great numbers with quarterbacks at these schools. And he, Scott Frost, who's the coach at Nebraska, always remembered what he learned from the coach at Northern Iowa. Well, he brought him along. He actually brought him out to Oregon when Frost was at Oregon. And he actually had spent a couple days with Mario, and he made himself go through the drills for several days. And he actually walked away, and this quote was great. He said, "I was more mad at myself because at age 37 or 8, I was throwing the ball better than I ever had as a college or pro quarterback in my entire career because of the approach they took." Well, the point I'm getting at is now the guy's in his early 60s. He's been able to move up to a Power Five school after being with Frost at UCF and doing very well. But the quote that the coach, that Mario Vestuco, basically stated was saying, "Hey, listen, I didn't know if I was ever going to get a shot at a big time, you know, Power Five school. But I was actually okay with that." He was quite content being at mid-majors or smaller universities. He had found his groove as a quarterback's coach and had success with the young men that he was training. And I thought it was really cool because we always assume, oh, this guy wants to get a big-time job. And he goes, "I'm very happy I have the opportunity, but I was actually very content doing what I was doing. And had I stayed at a mid-major or smaller school, I would be very happy with my life and career and very content." And I thought that was really cool because a lot of times you naturally make the assumption, "Hey, oh, this guy wants to go all the way to the top, and that must be the picture of success." Wherein he was stating, "No, I was actually very successful and very happy doing what I was doing. This is just gravy on top now." But I thought that was cool to see it. A guy that is getting into his 60s and has a ton of experience. Now there's a younger generation of quarterbacks, coaches, and head coaches that are now going to him going, "Hey, you're doing some things differently that we've never seen. Can we take a look at that?" And I thought that was just cool. And it kind of gave me hope to go, "Hey, man, keep going. There's contentment along this path."
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, since you brought up football, I will say that, you know, you got to look at the coach that was up at St. John's in Minnesota, Division III school, Coach John Gugliardi, or however you pronounce his last name. You know, he was all-time winningest coach. And every time there was an opening when I lived in Minnesota, his name was always brought up, and he gave him the same stock answer. He held up his hand, like, you know, "Go away, you know." But I think that as long as you're content with what you're doing, and you know you're able to put food on the table and take care of your needs, then you know then that might be really truly. Do you need to reinvent yourself, or do you just need to make sure that you're in that spot where you're content, you're happy, and you like where you're at? Maybe that's all it is. Maybe things come to you when you're not expecting them, or you're not looking for them. I mean, that's also, I think you hear that all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people are in that, you know, it's kind of a natural feeling to always be looking towards the future and seeking out that better opportunity. And when is that going to come? And when, in fact, maybe a lot of the good stuff is actually happening right now.
Yeah.
You know, and you should embrace that and enjoy it. But it's tough to do, right? It's tough to find that and always remind yourself of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think also, especially, you hit a point, you have a family, you know, I have dogs, but you're in that panic mode. If you're faced with one of those situations, like, what do I do? Can I do this? Can I do that? I mean, I can't tell you how many times looking through, the ads, you know, you automatically are, oh, nope, nope, nope. You know, instead of maybe looking at that and saying, hey, you know what? I've done something similar to this, or I have the experience that's going to lend itself to this. And it might be as we get older that, we need to draw upon what we've done and tweak it to how it's going to work going forward in whatever field or whatever opportunity is out there.
Right. No, I agree, man. I agree. And, I know that we could probably go at length at this on this subject, but I love where we went with this, man. Well, I think we're going to definitely dive into and branch off from this in another episode coming up.
Definitely.
You
did touch on something though, that I think is another podcast topic, bringing up the coach. We could always talk about how coaches, you know, what is he, 60 some years old, and now he's, you know, if you go back and look at his track record, he's produced. How come now he's just now getting a chance, and you get these guys that have never ever done anything significant, never been a coordinator and given head coaching jobs? That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast, but yeah, I'm just floating it out there as we get closer to football season.
Hey, it's the lightning in the bottle versus consistent light over time.
Exactly.
Shifting into our punch list, the things we're listening to, watching, reading, and of course drinking, let's shift into that. What's on your punch list this week? Where do you want to start?
Let's start with music, because both you and our friend Mark Manor have been raving about Yola. Yes. Yola.
Yeah.
Yes. And so this morning, while I was torturing myself, cleaning the house, I put on her new record, and good Lord, oh my gosh. And you know, when I'm listening to music, especially new artists, I'm like kind of in, new artist to me, I should say, I'm kind of in my world. Like I'm focused on what I want to hear. But actually, it was when we were making pancakes this morning, to be quite honest. I look over and I see Beth is actually kind of like moving to it. And, you know, it's like, all right, I only see that with like really stuff that she's familiar with. And then she starts asking questions. And the next thing you know, we're Googling her. I can't thank you and Mark enough. That record, it's going to get a lot of spins here at the house here.
That is awesome. I think that record's great, and I love putting that thing on, man. So Yola it is, and I'm going to follow that up with another new one that just came out maybe a week or two ago, and that was the Black Pumas record. And, you know, I like a quote that was to a certain extent basically saying, hey, they took this, you know, neo retro soul thing, but they tried to not just replicate it, but make it their own. And I think they have. And that record's been really good to listen to lately. I like what the Black Pumas are doing a lot. And again, it wasn't this, And even if it was, I don't really care if they're trying to replicate something from kind of a soul genre. I like what they're doing, man. And I love that someone's actually playing instruments and singing and doing something in that genre. So
I will say I am disappointed that none of them are wearing black Pumas. but also there's something I wanted to add. I threw it out to you about a month ago to add a old and new to the punch list.
That's right. Good
and,
call.
I know you and I are always bouncing around, but I'm going to go with, for old music, a band, female fronted band called the Au Pairs. I don't think they had much or any airplay in the United States. Reason why I've been listening to them lately is the drummer from Sleater-Kinney decided that she didn't want to be part of the band anymore, didn't like the direction. And I remember the first time I heard them, they reminded me a lot of the elements reminded me of the Au Pairs. So I had to dig back through. And then another good friend of mine, Aaron Tai, every time I listen to him, I think of her. So I know I've probably sent her 1,000 texts asking her if she's listened to him. And her and I had a quick little back and forth about, you know, how much we enjoy their music and everything. But the Au Pairs also are my oldie in rotation. What's spinning over there?
Well, oldie, I'm going to go with Elton John, and here's why. Last week I went to see Rocket Man, and I really enjoyed that quite a bit. And for Record Store Day, thanks to you, I was able to get my hands on that double album from Russia, that Moscow release from, what, 78 or 79, where it's just him. And then our good friend Tony this week said, yeah, you've got the record, but you don't have the complete show. And he enlightened me that apparently the BBC recording that we have on vinyl is great and actually sounds amazing. But there's definitely about 10 songs or so that didn't make the cut. And so he gifted me with a copy of that full show, and I've been diving into that as well.
I got to see that set list.
Yeah. It's a goodie. So definitely my new was Black Pumas. My old was Elton John.
Awesome.
So
I did listen to that record this morning too. And I kept thinking, like trying to picture Moscow in 1979. And when he's trying to get the crowd involved, like what I'm just trying, you know, getting this visual in my mind of what was going on there, you know? But yeah, definitely. That's definitely a great album. What have you been watching?
Well, believe it or not, I jumped into season 3 of Stranger Things. It just hit late last night in the early morning hours, and I've caught a couple episodes, and I'm just going to continue on that path with the kids. They're up to 1985 now, so it's been actually fun to watch. I love it. They've got a really cool story, of course, but I always love seeing what the kids are wearing, what they're listening to, get the 80s references thrown in. So Stranger Things season 3 just dropped today.
Nice. I admit I haven't watched season 2 yet. I started watching the new Showtime series with Kevin Bacon, City on a Hill. And I'm liking it so far. It's the first episode kind of, I wasn't liking Kevin Bacon. And then the second episode I'm coming around, I'm like, all right, I see what's going on. I kind of see where this is going. So now I'm really interested in it. But yeah, City on the Hill. Do we want to do a oldie show, or do I throw that element in?
If you've got it, I go ahead.
I've been watching The Wire. I'm not going to lie. Nice. I've been watching The Wire. You know, the fascinating thing, I mean, not the writing is outstanding in that show, but it's how many actors came from that show. You know, it gave them a start. Matter of fact, last night when we were watching City on the Hill, one of the guys that was portraying a pastor was one of the police officers in The Wire, you know, every time I watch an episode of that show, I'm thankful that we've been able to witness such great television in our lifetime.
Nice. Well, my oldie, there's a digital channel here, and all they do is play sitcoms from the 70s, and I actually love it. And so I'll put it on, and everyone thinks I'm crazy, but lately I've been catching Three's Company episodes. So
nice.
The Ropers and Jack and Chrissy. I mean, it's great. But you know what? There's actually some great stuff in there. I mean, it's a lot of it's silly humor, of course, but some of their timing, you know, Ritter's timing was really good on that show. If you actually go back and watch, he was a good comedic actor.
Yeah. Also, a thing that, I mean, when we were watching it at the time, we were not had no idea. But a lot of the messages in those shows, you know, it may seem like there's a little, you know, little cast off joke, but there was a lot of messages in there that, you know, it was not like they're sitting out there, you know, protesting, holding up signs, but they're kind of getting a point across without really being in your face, you know, and sometimes that's the best way. But yeah, that's a goodie. Damn it. Now I'm going to have to watch a couple episodes.
Well, it's classic. It's classic. All right, man. Are you reading anything lately?
I'm not going to lie. I've been reading a lot of World Cup stuff. I've thrown myself into soccer, and I've just been reading. You also got the Copa Cup, the Gold Cup. There's like three major international soccer tournaments going on right now, and so I've been reading about all of them. You know, and also I work with two guys that are really into soccer, so you know it's kind of like, I kind of want to be able to talk when they're talking soccer. I want to have an idea about what's going on. So I've been reading articles, also catching up on magazines. I think I'm to April for magazines. I look at them every day. I'm like, I should pick that up and read it. I'm like, nah, we'll wait. We'll wait till we do a podcast so I can talk about catching up on magazines. What, anything for you? You've been traveling, well, so you should be reading.
I have, it's been hit or miss, with travel. So, but at home, here's what I've been reading. It's actually a cookbook, believe it or not. And normally I wouldn't say, hey, I'm sitting down to read a cookbook, but, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, which was also, the cookbook was turned into a 4-part series on Netflix devoted to each one of the subjects, but her cookbook that she wrote is so good, man. It's actually laid out in a way where it's really engaging with some of the illustrations and the way that she approaches different, whether it's stocking your kitchen or food groups or how to prep. It's actually written in a way that you want to read it. It's not a humdrum, boring black and white cookbook that just stock full of recipes. But what it's done for me is it's actually kind of encouraged me in a way to approach the kitchen and cooking meals in a different light. Not that I'm there yet by any means, but it's forced me to go, hey, can I actually approach cooking meals in a different way? And she does it in a way that breaks it down very simply. And I'm loving that cookbook, man. I think it's a great cookbook, and I highly recommend it to anybody. So there you go.
Very cool. I will admit that watching Chopped has changed the way I look at the refrigerator and what's possible to prepare. So, you know, it can happen. Just be patient.
That's patient.
What about drinking? You've been out in Colorado, so I'm sure you've gotten some of the good Colorado beer.
Oh, definitely. I definitely did. There's a series of beers, and really what you'll see here is a theme. As I get into July, that's when I shift my attention to the fruit-based beers, which have grown so popular. And so in Colorado, there's a tangerine cream ale by Station 26 Brewery that I absolutely love. It's just tremendous. And then in the store this week, Shiner, usually I'll pick up some Shiner Bock periodically. they produced a summer heat wave little test session with three different varieties, and they had a prickly pear in there that was really, really good. And so those two have been at the top of my list right now, whether it's the tangerine cream ale or the prickly pear. And then as a backup, I'll always go to Leinenkugel's orange shandy, which they only produce in the summer, which is great.
Very good.
So how about you?
Well, we, a few weeks back, because I could tell you what I've been drinking, but that's boring. We went to one of the local breweries, Miel, and they had a beer there called the Bock. And it was nice. It was a nice, smooth beer. Nothing real fancy, just straight ahead beer. I guess it was a little stronger than I thought, because after about four or five, then, you know, things started not looking as crisp and clear as they did at the start of the day. But we went there and actually tried quite a few different beers when we were there. But it's a nice little brewery. It's good to see that they're doing well. And one thing I really like about them is they're changing it up. Like every week they got new beers. The only downside is if you like a beer, it may not be there the next time you come in. So, but been enjoying that.
Very cool. Very good. Well, my friend, we've reached the end of yet another episode. We made it through. And on that note, I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning into the PB&J show. We appreciate you taking the time to do so. We hope it's a quick reprieve from your busy day, and we look forward to bringing more episodes to you very, very soon. And so on that note, Jesse, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. And doctor said that our rehab should not take nearly as long as it did before.
That's right. That's right. We're back in fine form and ready to hit the lineup and hit the regular schedule. So on that note, the PB&J show is the Find the River production. Thanks, everybody. Hope you all have a great and safe 4th. Take care and talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.